Hello and welcome back to the Point 99 podcast. We're back with a brand new season. 10 new episodes being added to the 99's catalogue. I know I joked at the end of season 4 about maybe not coming back for a fifth, and in honesty, that was only partially joking, but here we are back. I felt the love from the community, and having the honour of the request made by James McQuillan asking for a bonus episode all about me, Mr. Steve, well, that helped a ton as well. I've already said it at the end of the bonus episode and a few times on social media, but I wholeheartedly want to give a massive thank you to Bob Burrow for stepping in and helping with that one. He did a fantastic job, I would say better than I do, after kind of being dropped in the deep end when Jace unfortunately had to take a step back from co-hosting with Bob. There is some really exciting news about that pair though, and a few other familiar faces, which I'm going to give a shout out to before we get to this week's guest. I am, however, refreshed and ready to go with another 10 weeks of community shout outs, praise and event roll calls, as well as having the best chat that I could possibly have in the allotted time with some truly amazing, inspirational and bona fide legends from within the running community. I listened to all the suggestions that you fired my way last season and some of the people that you would love to hear from. So maybe you might get a treat with one or two of the people who are coming on for season 5. Before I get too carried away though, let's get on to the introduction, especially for anyone tuning in for the very first time today. So here we go, for the first time of season 5. Let's get through this without messing up. For anyone who might be new or who is unfamiliar with the show, firstly, a massive welcome. The Point 99 podcast is a running podcast for all runners of all abilities, but especially you guys, the listeners and everyday runners of the world. If you're new to running or to the podcast, we hope to have guests, topics and discussions that will help you along the chosen path your journey is taking. For any seasoned runners or listeners, hopefully we'll have some stories that will have you empathizing with our various experiences and predicaments that we all inevitably experience. No matter if it's lessons we've learned during our own journeys, embarrassing stories or heartstring pulling moments, we hope you'll stick with us while we try to share some good vibes, motivation and positivity. And as always, hopefully we can have a laugh along the way together. So in the intermission between season 4 and 5, what did I get up to? Not a lot, to be perfectly honest, other than, of course, the bonus episode. Not long after we wrapped episode 10 of season 4, I came down with a seasonal bug that kind of floored me after I let myself slow down from a busy old time at work and life in general. On top of that, I managed to get myself a little calf niggle, ironically enough, after helping a calf or trying to. So I had to listen to my body. It was telling me to chill. So that's exactly what I did. I took a few weeks off. I did very little running, with April being the lowest mileage month I've done in a very long time, not even scraping over the 100k badge on Strava. So a little bit disappointed on my part there, but I needed the rest and I needed to let my body recover. It is always better to practice what I preach though, and act as an example to you guys that it's okay to take time out. Give your body time to recover. It is okay to slow down. I think with the way that social media is, everyone can so easily get caught up with pushing all the time to either match or outdo other people on their radar and their squares. At the end of the day, you're only harming yourself if you don't give yourself time to recover. Life's not a race, so enjoy it and look after yourself. Anyway, I am now back at it. I've gone and bought myself a new pair of carbon plated kicks and finally changed my running schedule. being all ready and raring to go for the next 16-week program, which technically starts today, for the Loch Ness 24. There'll be more on that a little bit later on in the show, and of course over the whole season, as we've once again teamed up with the wonderful team over there. So listen close as I drop a couple of spicy treats later on in the episode, so stay tuned, no skipping, you might miss it. I'll also tag a little bit about what the new carbon plated shoes are after the guest interview, just to give a little bit of padding on the other side before I wrap things up for the episode. Before any of that though, let's look at the responses from the call to action question I put out there earlier this week, wanting to hear from you guys and what you got up to during the interval, whether it's a shout out for others in the community or whether it's events that you've been smashing. First up in the responses, we had our good friend Chris Evans, better known to the masses as Chris Runs a Lap. Chris is shouting out previous guest Serena Broadway on the Dales Traverse that she absolutely smashed. He's saying, what a champ. He's also shouting out James Gow, better known as Jimmy Bunter, on the Fling, or to you and I, the Highland Fling Ultra. Chris wants to congratulate James on an amazing performance. Speaking of the devil, and we have Jimmy Bunter, James Gow, sliding into the feedback as well. Jimmy is shouting out everyone who smashed the Highland Fling alongside him. He also says it was a tough old race, but it was so much fun. He wants to add a salute to the souls that spend their time on the sidelines. It never gets said enough, but he wants to thank all the volunteers and supporters of races, as without them, races don't happen, nor are they much fun without them. So we runners appreciate you. And I want to echo that as well. Without volunteers, without supporters, the tough parts of a race would just break you. You wouldn't want to continue. And to have someone, as much as we joke, saying you're halfway there, it does give you a chuckle. It raises your spirits. And the same with the volunteers. Without having the high-vis heroes there, you could so easily throw in the towel, or the races just wouldn't happen. Staying with the Fling in mind, and we have Uncle Lee Campbell, control alt to Lee, whatever you want to call him. Lee wants to shout out Rachel, John, Kaylee, Davey, Mike, Jimmy, and everyone else that smashed the Highland Fling, and also to Nicky Sheridan for being an amazing volunteer as well. He should be shouting at himself there too, because I'm pretty sure he was also on the volunteer roster, absolutely making such a difference to all the competitors and spectators. It does line up nicely though, as we have Nicky Sheridan, Knick Knack Ultra Runs, also popping into the shout outs with loads at the Fling. Too many to name them all without fear of missing someone out. I'll also jump in here and also shout out Nikki myself as she gears up for her next big challenge, as she continues with her commitment to not only the grind, but also to the whole community. Before we shorten the distance from the ultra-loving crazies to more of a familiar distance, we have one more to throw into the mix, and this time it's not the Highland Fling. Emma Runs Ultras dropped into the feedback to share that she secured first female at the Manchester to Liverpool GB Ultra Series. And if that wasn't amazing enough, she secured another female first 3 weeks later at the new fourth Ultra Route hosted by Scuddy Events. I know I had a lot of Ultra runners on last season and I joked about it being a bit too many, but I think just from that, Emma might be a serious contender for a future guest. I want to know all about both of those absolutely amazing achievements. Let me know what your thoughts are on that one, and I will make it happen if you want to hear from Emma. Okie doke, let's get on to the sexy people's preferred distance, marathons. So both AB McCracken and Stuart Runs a Lot both got in contact. They were both south of the border at the Manchester Marathon. AB said that he found the atmosphere to be unbelievable. Keep your eyes and ears peeled though for both of these black and yellow clad Newton Road runners in the coming weeks. Not to be outdone, however, we have our good friend and the man who inspired the bonus episode, well, inspired, requested, James McQuillan, the man of the hour. Given the truly outstanding amount of praise and support he's been putting my way the past wee while, James slid in to shout himself out for his 3-hour, 27-minute marathon at his very first marathon. And what a place to do it, in London, baby. I started that Sunday off nice and relaxed, watching the little dots on the London Marathon app from bed before slowly moving through and seeing if I could spot some familiar faces on the TV footage. It was great to see that James and my old partner in crime, runner man Steve, were so close to each other from the get-go. Not that I think either of them would have seen each other given the sheer number of bodies that were on the course. James did eventually knock Steve out of the park with his effort, but shout out to the man himself, to Steve. He still secured a PB in his third London. I know he was a little bit disappointed with how it went, but he's still holding that PB up high, and as he should. We all know that marathons are a completely different beast on the day, and London is never going to be the easiest place to go for gold, given the amount of bobbing and weaving that you need to do to get in and around the crowds and how much that can affect different parts of you, whether it's your mind, whether it's your body, time, etc. He still did an absolutely amazing job. So a huge congratulations to everyone who took part in both Manchester and London though, and any other event that took place during the interim. There are a lot of names that I potentially could shout out, but I do have that fear of missing someone, and I don't want to cause any upset on missing someone out. Whenever you do score a medal, Monday Glory though, drop me a DM on either my own account or on the podcast, and I will raise you up on my shoulders to echo your success and shout you out. I want to make it a big thing in this season. I know I tried to do quite a lot last season, but I want to really focus on shouting you guys out and helping raise you all up. Last but by no means least, we have the running girls. They got in contact, and I'm not sure whether it's Annie, Lauden, or even both for that matter, but either way, training has started for the Dundee Half Dram, the half marathon in July. A great time of year to be at training, given the sun that's outside. While I'm recording, it might be a tad hot with some of the days, but it's all part of the fun, all those flies chasing you down the road. Fingers crossed the rainy sessions are non-existent or at best at minimum. For everyone that got involved, I just want to say thank you very much. Whether you were volunteering, cheering or taking part in an event during the break, a huge congratulations to you all. Let's make this season even louder on the shout outs on the events and appreciation to the others in the community for their achievements. Whether they've shouted themselves out or not, I want to hear from you all to show the love to everyone. I'm going to keep up the steam on the old London Marathon freshness front here and make a segue to this week's guest. I will, however, urge you to tune in after you've listened to this cracker of a guest to hear more about the Loch Ness 24 news, as well as a little tasty shoe news for my part before we wrap things up. Okay, this is Future Steve adding in a little bit here because I forgot to add in a shout out to both Bob Burrell, the Kilsyth runner, and Jace Wood, the Edinburgh runner, with something that I said I'd do before the guest interview. They finally managed to sit their backsides down and make the Insta Runners Roundup podcast a thing. But moreover, they have some other familiar faces to add into the mix and make what's going to be a very rowdy, chaotic, but hilarious podcast. So now we also have AB McTacken, we have Mike Houston running Beyond Limits, and Jimmy Bunter. Five crazy, insane, well, whatever you want to say, it's going to be absolute chaos, and I, for one, cannot wait to hear what they come up with. I know they've already done a dry run, they've had some videos of the hilarity that took place from that on their social media presence. They are, however, going for a proper recording this coming Sunday for a release on the 6th, Monday the 6th of May. I can't wait to hear what the outcome of this is going to be. As I say, it's going to be chaos, it's going to be madness, and I am here for it. Head on over to their Instagram page, drop them a follow, and stay tuned with everything that they have coming up. Give them the support that they've been giving me from the get-go. You can find them at InstaRunners_Roundup_pod. You can also find them on Spotify. Give them a follow. And when the time comes, give them a massive thumbs up rating and just show them the love and support, as I say, that they've been showing towards me. Before any of that, though, like I said, let's get to this episode's guest. I'm going to let the introduction I read this lovely lady do all the talking to save any repetition. So let's jump on over and hear how it went. Sliding onto the hot seat today, I have one of my best buddies from the running community and someone you may be familiar from several previous episodes having referred to as my pocket-sized Parisian pal and having featured on an episode in season 2 as well. As much as I like to emphasize her Frenchiness, she's more than just her nationality. As an accomplished multi-distant event finisher, including but not limited to the majestic marathon distance, she has most recently finished, and the likely focus of our chat this episode, the London Marathon. London aside, it sometimes seems like this little lady doesn't know how to sit still, popping up at one running event or another, treading both tar and trail. But beyond city streets and forest paths, she's no slouch, being a regular in the gym, often powerlifting far and beyond what you might expect from a lady of her stature. But let's hear about it all from the lass herself, the pan to my tartatan. She runs, she has curls, and don't get me started on her chocolate buns. It's my pocket-sized Parisian pal, the Eiffel Tower of Power, LOD.
Hello. What an intro. How am I submitted for that?
I thought about breaking your handle down a little bit and I thought I'll just do that. How are we getting on?
Good. Recovering from London and looking forward to lots of the other exciting events that I've got planned for the year.
Oh, plenty on. You got a busy calendar.
Yes, because you could add to your intro, has the inability to say no to anything. And as soon as someone mentions an event that kind of sounds fun, I'm in there signing up for it.
You're part of a little group of people who don't know how to say no.
Yeah, they're just a very bad influence on me.
Or are you a bad influence on them?
We are a bad influence on each other.
Before we get into London, because I do think that will be the main emphasis on our discussion today, but I think we're going to cover a lot of marathon chat, having run just not far off a year ago, Edinburgh with you, the great event that was for both of us there for different reasons. Let's kind of start off where we always do and find out about a young Elodie and how she got into running. Was that when you were still in France, or did that all come about after you moved to our fair shores?
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but we're not going to go and meet a young Elodie. We're going to meet Elodie during the pandemic, who was really, really bored because there's only so many Joe Wicks videos you can do in your kitchen before getting very bored. And I thought, you know, if I'm ever going to complete Couch to 5K, it's going to be now because I've got all the time in the world. And it was a good way to get out of the house. And that's how it started. It was a long slog. I wouldn't say it was love at first step. definitely took me about 6 or 8 months of trying to run regularly short distances to finally hit a day where I was running and I thought to myself, this is actually enjoyable. I am having fun. I am not suffering too much. And from then on, it kind of grew arms and legs. So yeah, started running all on my own during the pandemic, created my Instagram very kind of in a submarine way, anonymously and without letting anyone I knew in real life know that I had a running Instagram, just to keep myself accountable. And from, you know, having met so many people now from the Instagram running community that I can call my friends, and you're one of them, Steve.
For your sins. So you didn't really tell your friend, your real life friends and family. Do they know a lot about it now, or do you still kind of keep the two separate from each other so you don't bore people? I think that's quite a common thing people say, is they don't like talking about it to people who don't run because they don't want to bore them.
Yeah, I mean, I'll talk about running, because as you know, it comes naturally to us. And as soon as someone mentions something, I'm like right in there. I think it was more, you know, on the Instagram kind of thing. Obviously, Instagram by its nature is quite showy-offy. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't at a level, and, you know, I wasn't doing it for reasons that I felt were noble enough to let everybody know about it. So, you know, I started running because I wanted to lose a bit of weight, get healthier, but, you know, definitely not to smash any time or distances. So it was very much my little kind of fitness online diary more than anything. I was so surprised when people started following me back in the days, because let me tell you, my content was of no interest. Not that it's necessarily of interest now, but it definitely wasn't back then, because, you know, I wouldn't even put my face on any post because I didn't want people to recognize me.
That's now, maybe why people were following you, though, because it was it's like the masked singer, the masked runner.
Yes. So, and from now, not that I've got a huge following, but, you know, it's all about quality rather than quantity. So the people that I've met have been absolutely amazing. And I've had a couple of times, including in London, people coming to me saying, I follow you on Instagram. And I'm like, I don't know you from Adam. And it's a little bit scary.
It's weird, isn't it? I've only had that happen once, but even still, I was like, I don't know you. I don't recognize you. It must be worse as well being a female when you, I'm hoping it was a female that came up to you, not just a creepy guy.
On the two occasions, it was females both times. So yeah, it didn't feel that creepy.
So was that the same with the gym and with your weightlifting? Did that happen because of lockdown, or was that something you always had an interest in as well?
No, so I had more an interest in yoga and kind of, you know, usual kind of keep fit before the pandemic. I had started doing CrossFit just before the pandemic, and I really enjoyed that. But no, it was more a case of when I started back at the gym, when everything reopened, I was working with an online coach, which really helped me to focus on the performance rather than just seeing the gym as a place to burn calories. Mm-hmm. And I started to really enjoy the process of lifting stuff that was, you know, heavy AF. I'm trying not to swear.
But you can swear all you want. It's okay. I just have to mark it with that little E button.
And then from then, you know, when everything started to reopen, I signed up to a couple of courses locally, one of which was powerlifting. And the feeling that you get when you start lifting more than your body weight, you're like, you know, I can put me on my back and squat me. That kind of feels quite good. It makes you feel quite strong. And yeah, it's kind of started from there.
Were you at all sporty then growing up?
100% no. at school, I was part of a drama society and the school newspaper. So I wasn't a sporty kid. In fact, I actually, you know, actively hated and avoided PE. I probably had my period for about 4 years solid at school, because obviously if you said that, people didn't ask questions, you were excused. No, I absolutely hated it. I had various kind of PE teachers that really put me off PE, either because they were looking for little young athletes, and if you were not performing, they were not interested, or being put, you know. I remember in high school, some of the kids in my school were part of a young athlete program for basketball. And I had to have PE lessons with those guys. They were basically twice my size. It wasn't enjoyable. It was no way I was going to touch a ball ever. So yeah, it just PE was never my thing.
Never know. There's been some really successful little basketball players.
Name one.
I can't name any basketball players. Not my field. Right. Okay. So starting off in lockdown, that's quite a common sort of starting point for a lot of people, I would say, these days, unless you had a really sporty upbringing and you're maybe further on in the elite program of running. You do enjoy it though. You're no stranger to events. You, as I say in the intro, pop up no matter where it is, if it's trail, if it's tar. You're a big fan of Kielder, and I'm sure we'll mention that. You've been there a couple of years running. You, of course, came up for the 24, and you did a scouting run with us in advance of that. Before we get to London, then, what is your preference when it comes to running events? Do you have more of a favorite for the dirty tracks or the clean trail ultra style lovely people that just like going fast?
My preference is whatever has the nicest medal. I like trails if it's kind of managed past, like we had at Loch Ness or Kielder. I'm not a fan of mud. Like, I will still actively avoid any muddy bits. I am never going to kind of run through a puddle. So I probably feel more comfortable on the road in the winter time in Scotland because it's likely to be drier. It's lovely being out in nature, but yeah, it's if there's no nice medal at the end of it, I'm probably not going to be signing up for it.
You must be
Don't get
really.
me started on wooden medals or coasters. I'm like, no, I want some bling to put on my wall. Thank you very much.
Something substantial enough that you could kill a squirrel with.
Something like this.
Something like that. That's a dinner plate more than anything. So for anyone listening, Elodie's just got her London Marathon medal out. So I think that's an indication that she wants to move on to that as well. So
No,
that is it. That.
I just like randomly flashing it now.
It is a dinner plate size medal. It's huge. I think I've only seen one medal bigger, and that was the combination series for the really ultra ones that Tanya Carmona had in the background. It was literally like a dinner plate. But that is a monster. Not that many of us will ever get to hold one because the number of registrations is going through the roof. So take us to London then. Maybe start off with how training went, because it's been a long old run for you of training, how you felt on the run up to it, and then take us through the day itself.
So I actually officially started my London training plan on the 25th of December 2023. Not that I wanted an excuse to get out of the house on Christmas Day, but yeah, totally wanted an excuse to get out of the house. And to be honest, the training plan went really, really well. So I used an app called Coupa. I'm an ambassador for them, but I had used them in the past, right when they first started. And it was lovely to see the changes in the plan and how things have adapted. One thing that I really, really loved this training plan, compared to previous marathon plans that I've done, regardless of whether they were with Coupa or not, was the fact that it was time-based. So all the long runs where there was a time cap, it was, 2.5 hours, 3 hours, 3.5 hours, which made it a lot easier for me to get in the groove, but also not lose faith halfway through that I couldn't complete the distance. Because I think in previous years, when I had 30 or 32K to do, it was quite easy to kind of feel disheartened or think, oh my God, I've got another 20K to do. I'll just stop for a bit. In my mind, it was a lot easier to keep going with the time base. I set myself a fairly kind of conservative goal of meeting my London, sorry, my Edinburgh time, so just kind of sub 5 hours, knowing that I potentially could do better. And throughout the training plan, the feedback that I was getting from my session is that I could do a lot better, but I also hate to put myself in the red. So I knew that I was more likely to succeed and to enjoy it if at no point in those training runs or in the event itself, I was feeling like panicky and dying and thinking that I couldn't carry on. So I purposely kind of set something a little bit slower to make sure that I met my goal. There might be an event later on this year where I'm trying to smash that PB. We'll see how I feel closer to the time, but London wasn't the event for it. One, because I wanted to take on the scenery and the crowds and make sure that I was soaking in every moment of it. And two, because I knew that it was going to be so busy that it was going to get really disheartening to just weave in and out of people and to kind of miss, a time goal because of that, because you're never going to have a clear field in a place like London unless you're one of the elites, which I'm definitely not.
I have seen a few people saying that exact thing as well. It was just so busy that you do spend most of your time meandering around. People that maybe are putting themselves in time expectations that are slower, same as what we had in Edinburgh, same as what you get anywhere, same as I had in Amsterdam. You spend most of your time weaving around people who are sandbagging. That's why we spoke just beforehand that your PB was actually broken, but that's your Strava PB because you did the more well over the distance to get to where you got to. But then the marathon being measured, not quite the same. Do you have then a favorite part of the marathon other than the medal? Did the number of people actually, in the end, be a favorite part because you had all these people that could drag you along and you didn't feel like you were on your own at any point? Was it the scenery? Was it the spectators? Was it the support?
I mean, one massive part for me was seeing people that I knew that had flown down just for the day. And big shout out to Karen and Giz. I saw them twice along the course, and then I saw them at the end again. Having someone waiting for you in the crowd makes a world of difference. I know we have spoken before. My first ever kind of marathon experience was Edinburgh in 2022. And when I ran that marathon, I was completely on my own. I knew a couple of people that were running, but they were not necessarily close friends. And I definitely didn't have anyone on the course or waiting for me at the end. And that, along with the course being a little bit difficult, especially the out and back bit, really kind of broke my spirit. Like my spirit was broken more than my body. And I'm very kind of much thinking, what's the point? Nobody cares. Nobody's there for me. Nobody can see me fail or succeed. Every other race since, I've had people either with me or in the crowds. And I can't stress enough, if you ever think that it's a waste of your time to wait on the side of a road for someone that you truly care about because they're only going to see you for 5 seconds, those 5 seconds are going to make or break that race for the runner. It's, if you can do it's absolutely worth it, because it really, really gives you a boost. And seeing Giz and Karen at mile 12, I think, was a brilliant boost. Knowing that I was seeing them again at mile 24 was not only a spirit boost, but was also me knowing that I could give them my hydration vest that was chafing like hell. So it meant that those last 2 miles felt so much easier, so much lighter, because I wasn't in pain anymore. And obviously I had that little boost to see them right before the finish line as well.
I never actually thought about it until Bob mentioned something similar in the bonus episode prior to this. And he said that he's sat in the car pre-race, got so much in his own head, he's driven away from the event. And I suppose if you have people there, you're less likely to get in your head, because you're also thinking, I need to get to that point because that person's waiting for me. And it gives you that drive, like you said, to get to that point. And then if you know you're seeing them again, it gives you that drive. It gives you a reason to do it, other than having a really nice medal at the end, in your case, which is also my case as well. You mentioned there other events, other races. How many marathons have you done now, including London?
So 6 actual marathons. So, no. 4 road marathons and 2 trail marathons, which were a little bit over the marathon distance, but not enough that I could call them an ultra. I'm not counting Loch Ness 24 in that, because even though I did more than a marathon distance, it was broken up throughout the day. So even though, you know, my Strava is telling me that I did a 50K on that day, I'm not counting it, because it was a broken up 50K.
I'm in the same boat as you. I won't class it as an ultra. I did do 56 kilometers, but it was broken up, and I don't see that as fair. Maybe this year. Out of your 6, what's been your favorite? Is it London?
Probably right now it is.
Because it's the freshest.
Because yes, but also because it's the one where I've got the most kind of, I don't know, there's pictures of me smiling all the way through, except for that those last kind of 15 seconds when I'm almost throwing up at the end. But we'll get to that in a minute. Edinburgh last year would be a close second.
Just say that because you ran with me.
It's true. Running with you and Giz, like, it was the stark difference between Edinburgh 23 and Edinburgh 22 that really kind of made it for me. And it gave me the confidence boost that I could kind of be a little bit faster than I thought I could. I just enjoyed running like the first half, or almost the first half, with you two just chatting away. And then the second half with you cracking the whip, telling me to not slow down and keep going for, it's just another mile.
No, I let you walk miles. For a little bit. I let you walk for a little bit. You're also very generous saying you ran with us, seeing as I spent most of my time catching up with you each time, and Giz kept doing the same. I think for the majority of that marathon, you were on your own, and you would have done you would have got your PB on that day, regardless of either myself or Giz. That was a bit of a rough start that day, because you, of course, had a little bit of an accident. I would blame the organizers for that one wholeheartedly, but you did so well to pick yourself up and carry
just
on.
Just to clarify, just in case people think I've, like, you know, I had a, you know,
a typical runner accident.
I fell and hurt my hand as we were kind of coming down the mount and towards Princess Street Gardens. So I had a little bit of a sore hand, which I just kind of bandaged up with a buff and kept a water bottle against, kind of cool it down, and it was fine. Yeah, because you made it sound like I had, you know,
you had an accident. Yeah, you had a runner's accident.
And, you know, there's only one person that visited all the loos on the course, and that was you. That wasn't me.
Yeah. I was running a different kind of marathon. So London, and you've said, honestly, you don't have to say Edinburgh because of that. The trail ones are both Kielder, aren't they?
Yeah, so the Kielder 23, which was the one last year, the one that I ran with a friend of mine. Again, that's pretty special, because if I hadn't done Kielder, I don't think I would have run another marathon, because my experience in Edinburgh 22 was so bad.
Yeah.
So he pressured me a little to kind of sign up for it by saying, you know, we'll run it together. It's a trail. It's nighttime. We can stop and look at the stars and stuff. But it gave me the confidence that I could do that distance again. And after that, I kind of kept signing up for things, because after Kielder, I thought I was going to take a break for a little while. And then I was given a spot to do Manchester with 6 days' notice. So I think I found out on the Sunday that I was running Manchester the following Sunday. And as soon as I finished Manchester, somebody put up on Instagram that they had a spot for Edinburgh to transfer, and I snapped it up, and the rest is history.
Not going too far away from Kildare, though. You've recently having completed it again, but not just completed that one. You did a double day, didn't you?
Yes.
And what did you get from that?
Let me set the scene. So I ran Kildare, which was tougher than last year, because the route had changed slightly. We went anti-clockwise. We went anti-clockwise instead of clockwise, which obviously some of the landmarks you hit sooner rather than later, and it just made it a little bit harder. Also, it rained non-stop for the entire evening, to the point where I was actually getting almost kind of fits, because when it rains and you're wearing a head torch, you get that strobing effect in front of you constantly, and I was getting like really dizzy from that, so that was a tough one. And I had volunteered to tail walk the 11 miler the following day. So I was doing the 26.5 miles on the Saturday night, and I was tail walking the 11 miler on the Sunday. Ended up running a little bit of the 11 miler and catching up with the last runner, one of the last runner that had almost decided that she wanted to DNF, and kind of helped her kind of finish, and kind of pushed her on along the way, made it very clear that I wasn't the cutoff, so it wasn't a case of she had to keep up with me. The cutoff was way behind us, but I was just there for support if she needed it, and it was very kind of, it felt really good to help somebody else cross that finish line when at the halfway point she thought she was done, that she was done for the day. So that felt really good. Because only a handful of ladies had entered the Kildare double, by completing the run on the Saturday and tail walking the Sunday, I ended up being first female on that new course. And for the double that year, there was another lady that was tail walking both events. So her time was obviously slower than mine, because I had run one of the events. So for the first time in my life, I actually got a prize for being first, first out of two. No, I'll still take it.
Definitely, because I'm never going to get a first in any category, ever. Take it and run with it.
There's technically the Kildare triple. The third part of the event is happening in 2 weeks. And I'm very, very much considering entering 16 miles or 25K. Never know which way they round it up. So if I do that, I'll get the triple crown. Triple crown and doing the three events in the 1 year. I think it's quite nice as well. Yeah. Also, the fact that the third event, so it's still going to be a nighttime event, so it's still dark skies, but with it being the second week of May, it should be a completely different feel and completely different kind of fauna and flora that you see around Kildare than you do in March. So I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, you'll only really have like two, three hours of darkness. So you'll get that really odd.
It starts later on, so you actually get more darkness. But, hopefully it will be a little bit less wet than it was in March.
I would have said there, made a joke that maybe you brought the rain up for the 24 last year, because I keep getting the blame for it. I don't take the rain everywhere. But you didn't bring the rain up for the recce that we did. So it's neither of us. I think we can rule that out. And it's definitely not Lee.
Yeah. No, it's I have that ongoing argument with Lee that, you know, he calls me the rain goddess. I am definitely, it's fake news. I definitely don't bring the rain. I have many, many pictures of, you know, beautiful runs in the heat. I got sunburnt in London, so definitely didn't bring the rain there.
You got me sunburned in Edinburgh.
I got sunburnt in Edinburgh as well, because I think everybody gets sunburnt in Edinburgh.
So you don't bring the rain. You don't bring the rain. What I think might be an important question then, because I obviously follow you and I know how much time and effort you put into both sides, running and weightlifting. What is your favored side? Do you prefer running, or do you prefer squatting your own weight, as you put it?
Both. I wouldn't really want to kind of pick one over the other. I like running because it's my time with my thoughts, listening to, you know, slightly inappropriate podcasts. And by that, I mean, you know, listening to murdery podcasts whilst running in the woods, which is a special experience, let me tell you. But I like being at the gym as well and kind of feeling stronger and getting that sense of achievement. So they're two completely different kind of training, and I get two different kind of joy out of them, and I wouldn't necessarily want to pick one over the other. There are time in the year where I prioritize one over the other. So the last months, for example, my weight training has definitely taken a backseat. I was doing some weeks I was doing two, but I was doing one session a week at most, because the running was taking so much time and I did have to try and recover in between as well and try not to be completely tired by the time the marathon was coming in. So I'm doing a little bit more lifting at the minute. I've gone back to kind of three sessions a week and three running sessions a week. So, six workouts altogether. But I know that when I kick up my next marathon cycle, that will probably take a back seat. But I'm trying to get as much under my belt as I can now. So when I take it back down, I'm not losing too much strength.
Yeah. Spoken like a true OG CrossFitter.
Well, I'm not a CrossFitter anymore, and definitely not a high roxer. That's the fear of God into me. I'm like, I can't see that being enjoyable.
Really? I mean, I think you do pretty well. You could do a lot of it. You could show some people really how it's done.
I don't know. It's the fast running in between that would really. I'm not really good at fast, short bits of running. I go long and slow. Like, this body's built for comfort, not for speed. I remember kind of CrossFit workouts or a competition that I did last year where we started the day with an 800 meter sprint and then the rest of the workout, and it nearly killed me. I was like, I'm not having any of this.
I suppose you would have to bleach your hair as well, because that seems to be a thing with female hydrox.
Really short.
Or tie it back in a ponytail. Okie dokie, let's think about wrapping up then and speak about what's coming next. What's the next big, maybe goals, maybe milestones for Elodie?
So I'll be back at Edinburgh, but this year I'm going for the half. So I'm cutting out the out and back of doom.
And yes.
Do the half and stay behind to cheer anyone that is running the full, because I've got a few people that I know running the full marathon. The only reason I've never done the half in Edinburgh is because it starts at a stupid time in the morning. I think it's an 8 o'clock start, which yeah. I am not an early bird. Like, I do not like morning. So for the past 2 years, I've signed up for the marathon just because it was starting at 10:30. And it meant, like, you know, a couple more hours in bed. This year it felt like, you know, after running London, it was reasonable, and obviously killed her the months before as well. It was reasonable to go for the half, even though I know that, you know, I'll see people crossing the line of the full and I'll get massive FOMO and I'll really wish I had done the full. But Edinburgh will always be there. Edinburgh is easy to get into.
And you don't live a million miles away from it as well.
Yes, it's it made more sense to focus on races that were a little bit more of a one-off this year.
Yeah, yeah. And I think so close to London as well, you want to give yourself plenty of time to recover from that distance. And a half marathon is certainly going to put a lot less strain on your body.
Yeah.
What else?
So probably potentially the Kilda Triple. So the third leg, which will be the 16 miler. Then I've got a nice kind of short event in July, the Great North 10K, which I'm hoping to, get a prove myself that I can do a decent time on a 10K, because shorter distances have kind of gone by the wayside over the last couple of years. Then 16 weeks from today, we'll have Loch Ness 24, and we're back with a vengeance. Where we I think we're all, well, you've got your own strategy for Loch Ness 24, but previous dibbers, we've gone for, instead of making teams, we've made a super team. So we've all entered solo so we can run together. I don't think any of us have any plans to actually, smash crazy distances. We'll see what happens on the day.
Just have fun.
We just want to have fun, run together. And I think that's one thing that we kind of missed on a little bit last year, is because it got so busy and because people were running at such various speeds, it was really hard to time for you to go run with someone from another team together. So that's why this year we've all entered solo so we can do that.
And we'll bring the sun so you can sit on the beach and take a break and have a paddle.
I mean, you keep saying that old nice weather of Inverness thing. I don't think I've seen it yet.
You saw it on... No, don't come back. You saw at least some kind of semi... I said you didn't bring the rain. There was rain on our recce, wasn't there?
No, it had rained previously. Because
and then it rained after we were done.
When we went to the through the fields that where the grass hadn't been cut, and it was basically my height... And it was completely soggy, but it wasn't raining then. It's just, it had been running in the run-up of a recce.
Anyone listening, again, context, the grass came up to my shins. It came up to Elodie's chin, so that gives you context on just how small she is.
You're exaggerating for effect.
You also say, I've got my goals. I do have a goal for this one, but the way it's going, I'm going to have a serious conversation with my partner about that, because I don't think she's going to be in any shape to do it. So it might be a solo effort for me as well, the way things are going. I'm not ruling out trying to podium still. Fingers crossed she is on the mend, but yeah.
Not fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. So no, yeah, 16 weeks. And then we will see you again, unless we see you beforehand. Either I'm down your neck of the woods or you are up. But 16 weeks and we'll bring the sun, we'll have a party, and hopefully there will be a silent disco this time.
And pizzas that we don't have to wait 3 hours for.
I didn't. I went and got mine.
No. I got on the Domino's as well. But
generally speaking,
I've heard so much about the pizzas that I hope that we can get something a bit nicer than Domino's next year.
I'll take the pizza oven next time. Yeah. Again, if it doesn't rain. Yeah. Now, that's been fantastic speaking to you again today, Elodie. As with every person I've had on, I do feel like it's just like skimming the surface and not really deep diving enough, but maybe we'll get you back on and have more of a chat closer to the 24 again like we had previously. But no, thank you very much for coming on and speaking today. I think anyone wants to know more about London, drop Elodie a message, give her a follow. Where can they find you, Elodie?
On Instagram, which is runs_curls_and_buns. No. do you want to do it, Steve? Because you're like way better than me at doing it.
runs_curls_and_chocolate_buns or a chocolate_buns.
And yes, I have said for the past kind of 3 years that I was going to change that handle to something less complicated, but I feel like that ship has sailed. Although if anyone wants to, you know, send me any suggestions, please do so. My inbox is open.
Start the Dan Elodie. Thank you once again for joining me, and enjoy the rest of your evening, and fingers crossed this will be a smasher.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Magnifique. She's a right rocket, that one. We had a great pre and post interview chat and a lot of laughs that weren't safe for non-inducted cult ears. It was a little bit rusty though, coming back as a host. I have to say, from my experience, it's much easier being a guest than being a host. I'd be more than happy having Elodie back at any time in the future to deep dive a little bit more of her story. The allotted time is sometimes not anywhere near long enough to really do a person's story enough justice. Then again, it was Elodie who originally made the comment about the 2 hour long episodes being a little bit too long and having to listen to each episode on 2x speed. Okay, I've been teasing you long enough now. Loch Ness 24 news, and generally podcast news for that matter. I think most of you will have already guessed it by now, but of course, with it being 16 weeks away from the event today, a perfect block distance, Friday the 3rd for anyone listening after the fact, we have teamed up with the amazing team at the Loch Ness 24 once again to give one lucky person an event entry for this year's event. Whether the winner uses the entry for a solo or team entry, that's completely up to them. On top of that, however, we have a partnership with Voom Nutrition to bring a Voom bundle and £25 Voom voucher into the mix, as well as having our merchandise partners from Twisted adding something in as well. But then to top it all off, the 99, that's me, we're adding into the prize pot as well and giving the lucky winner a pair of trail shoes. Given that the weather might not be the best, well, we've seen it in two ways now. We've seen the sun and the hard ground where you can use road shoes. We've seen the really muddy, wet weather where I still used road shoes, but it'd be much better in trail shoes. The shoes that I have in mind are the exact pair that I now wear for my trail outings, the Innovate Trailfly Ultra G300 Max. Bit of a mouthful. This giveaway is, however, not affiliated with Innovate, not at the moment anyway, so that part of the prize is purely coming from the 99 from me. So keep an eye on socials on how to enter in the next few days. It'll likely be the usual entry requirements following the awesome companies that have partnered up with us to give you such an amazing prize package, but I will confirm it all on the social media posts. The prize package may also grow. If it does, I'll be the first to let you know through socials, and I might do a couple of videos as well just to keep you informed as to what's happening. Future Steve here once again with something else that I forgot to add in. The team at the Loch Ness 24 have been very, very kind to us again, as they have been the past few years now. I've had a discount code available in year one, year two, and I have another one for year three. It will get anyone who wants to take part in the event but isn't lucky enough to win the prize £10 off their entry. I will pop that code over on the social media post just so I don't read it wrong or you don't hear it wrong and then it doesn't work. Head on over to Instagram in the next few days if you want to, well, still enter the giveaway, but if you want to enter anyway or you were going to enter, you can get £10 off your entry. I am very close to wrapping up now, but before I do, I wanted to share some shoe news. Now, this one's from me. Anyone familiar with the show and my running will now know how much of a fan I am of Nike or Nike, whatever you want to call them, their Vaporfly and generally their super shoe range as a whole. Well, I've decided to toss my hat into the ring with a new carbon plated shoe and see what it has to say for itself, given how cheap it is compared to some of the other big brands like Nike, Adidas, etc. I went and bought the Kipran KD900LD. I know, like the trail shoe, that title does roll off the tongue, not, but it is the shoe in question. Even when I popped the brown box up on the stories, though, Ian Runs and Cycles, the man who knows his stuff when it comes to shoes, knew exactly what the deal was. I am desperate for that man to get a shoe sponsor so we can get him a YouTube channel for all the reviews, because he does so much great stuff in the community, shouting out all these different shoes and testing them out as well when he can. Anyway, that's the plan for my bank holiday long weekend, to give them a blast, see what I think and let you guys know. This could be a bit of a game changer and revolutionize the affordability of carbon plated shoes for the masses. They might be a miss, they might be a hit. So who knows? Let's find out. Lost my place there. Okay, it's time to wrap up. If you liked what you heard today, the best way to support the podcast is to do what you've done, to download, to stream, and to listen to the show. A quick share with your family and friends. Well, that wouldn't go amiss. Sorry, I'm trying to remember this off the top of my dome. If you could also tag a share back to the show's page, that would be a massive help as well. And then I can at least share your share to show my support for what you're doing. If you'd like to show your physical support for the podcast, you can purchase a t-shirt from our merchandise partners at the aforementioned Twisted Running. All proceeds stay with Twisted and help them grow as a brand and continue to provide valuable contributions to the running community and podcasts like ourselves. We may have a new product or two going up throughout season 5. I just need to make a decision on what the design is going to be. Ben and the team are ready and raring to go to get something up otherwise. The usual, the quality of the products, well, that is top notch. You see me wearing my t-shirts all the time. They are the same t-shirts I bought when they first came out and they are still in tip-top condition. They don't sponsor me to say that. I buy my own t-shirts as it should be, and they are, as I say, pristine, the best quality you can buy. And I think a few of the listeners who have bought them will also testify to that as well. So you can find a direct link to the Twisted 99 page on our website, thepoint99podcast.com, or by Googling Twisted Running, dropping them a follow on social media. That would be a great thing to do as well. Though you're going to have to do that if you're entering the giveaway, more than likely. The show is available on all major podcast platforms, so if your family or friends don't like using Apple or hate using Spotify, there should be an alternative for them. I say should because Google Podcasts is no longer a thing. They are going away, but hopefully there will be an alternative that people are happy to use. So you can find every episode streamable as well, though, on our website, and that's on an inbuilt player on the episodes page. I have done a little bit of updating on our website. It's a little bit more user-friendly, the colours a little bit better, and it goes with the theme for this season. Finally, we're on both Instagram and Facebook. Just search for the Point 99 podcast if you'd like to follow what I'm doing over there. Like I've said in the past, Facebook is a little bit quieter because I don't really see too much in the way of interaction there. It is mostly on Instagram, so that's why I put all the videos, all the questions and bits and pieces on Instagram. If people are using Facebook, I would update that a little bit more with some unique stuff, but yeah, not much in the way of interaction. It kind of defeats the purpose otherwise. So if you would like to get in contact, though, you can contact me through Facebook. You can contact me with a direct message on Instagram, or you can email me at thepoint99podcast@gmail.com. com, or if you leave a comment in any of the posts. Finally, you can also find me at Mr_Steve_Runs. You can always feel more than welcome to drop me a message there as well. As always, I can't thank you all enough for tuning in today, especially for this, the first episode of season 5. You're making this little hobby of mine enjoyable by the week. Although, threats aside, I was considering maybe not coming back, but I do appreciate all the support, feedback and love you've all given me in the interval. So until the next episode, the usual, let's get this catchphrase done. I hope you stay safe, enjoy your runs, and you will hear from me soon.